Nikolai Gogol's The Mantle, narrated by Peter Coates. In a certain Russian ministerial department, but it is perhaps better that I do not mention which department it was. There are, in the whole of Russia, no persons more sensitive than government officials. Each of them believes, if he is annoyed in any way, that the whole official class is insulted in his person. Recently, an Isprovnik, country magistrate, I do not know of which town, is said to have drawn up a report with the object of showing that, ignoring government orders, people were speaking of Isprovniks in terms of contempt. In order to prove his assertions, he forwarded with his report a bulky work of fiction, in which, on about every tenth page, an Isprovnik appeared generally in a drunken condition. In order, therefore, to avoid any unpleasantness, I will not definitely indicate the department in which the scene of my story is laid, and will rather say, in a certain chancellery. Well, in a certain chancellery there was a certain man who, as I cannot deny, was not of an attractive appearance. He was short, had a face marked with smallpox, was rather bald in front, and his forehead and cheeks were deeply lined with furrows, to say nothing of other physical imperfections. Such was the outer aspect of our hero, as produced by the St. Petersburg climate. As regards his official rank, for with us Russians the official rank must always be given, he was what is usually known as a permanent titular councillor, one of those unfortunate beings who, as is well known, are made a butt of by various authors who have the bad habit of attacking people who cannot defend themselves. Our hero's family name was Bashmatchkin, his baptismal name Akaki Akakievich. Perhaps the reader may think this name somewhat strange and far-fetched, but he can be assured that this is not so, and that circumstances so arranged it that it was quite impossible to give him any other name. This happened in the following way. Akaki Akakievich was born, if I am not mistaken, on the night of the 23rd of March. His deceased mother, the wife of an official and a very good woman, immediately made proper arrangements for his baptism. When the time came, she was lying on the bed before the door. At her right hand stood the godfather, Ivan Ivanovich Jeroshkin, a very important person who was registrar of the Senate. At her left, the godmother, Anna Simovna Bilobrashkova, the wife of a police inspector, a woman of rare virtues. Three names were suggested to the mother from which to choose one for the child: Mokuja, Sosuja, or Hozdazat. "No," she said, "I don't like such names." In order to meet with her wishes, the church calendar was opened in another place, and the names Trifili, Dula, and Varahasi were found. "This is a punishment from heaven," said the mother. "What sort of names are these? I never heard the like. If it had been Varadat or Varuch, but Trifili and Varahasi?" They looked again in the calendar and found Pavsikahi and Vachtisi. "Now I see," said the mother, "this is plainly fate. If there is no help for it, then he had better take his father's name, which is Akaki." So the child was called Akaki Akakievich. It was baptized, although it wept and cried and made all sorts of grimaces, as though it had a presentiment that it would one day be a titular counsellor. We have related all this so conscientiously that the reader himself might be convinced that it was impossible for the little Akaki to receive any other name. When and how he entered the chancellery, and who appointed him, no one could remember. However many of his supervisors might come and go, he was always seen in the same spot, in the same attitude, busy with the same work, and bearing the same title, so that people began to believe he had come into the world just as he was, with his bald forehead and official uniform. In the chancellery where he worked, no kind of notice was taken of him. Even the office attendants did not rise from their seats when he entered, nor look at him. They took no more notice than if a fly had flown through the room. His superiors treated him in a coldly despotic manner. The assistant of the head of the department, when he pushed a pile of papers under his nose, did not even say, "Please copy those," or "There is something interesting for you," or make any other polite remark such as well-educated officials are in the habit